Peace be with you, and God's blessings on us as we meditate on his word this afternoon. Well, I have some sad news to tell you. My wife has left me. April Fools, but only in a certain way, because she did take a trip on Thursday. Thursday morning, she and my daughter went up to Michigan to see her father because he had surgery. And normally I'm a little sad when my family leaves and I'm home alone for a couple of days, but not this time, because after work on Thursday, I went out to my garage, and Friday evening, and even Saturday morning, and I got all kinds of things accomplished. There was a chainsaw to fix. There was a hot tub to repair. And there were two woodworking projects that were finished up that day and that weekend. As I said, normally you're a little sad when your family goes away, but if you know they're coming back, as mine was on Saturday afternoon, then you can say, oh, this is a little time to get some things accomplished. However, if the opposite were true, I would have been in agony. If I knew my wife and daughter were never coming back, I would feel abandoned, alone, and literally torn apart. From out of the unspeakable depths of such agony, our Lord cries out the words of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? There was an old preacher and scholar named Pastor O.P. Kretzmann, and he thought about this cry of agony with these words. He said, suddenly on a Friday afternoon, a man was forsaken of God, cut off from the living and the dead, utterly and ultimately alone. The sudden emptiness in those shadowed eyes, it was then much more than afterward that he died. You see, this is sin. It is not merely a matter of murder and adultery and gossip, something to do or not to do. It is always loneliness. Sin is cutting yourself off from God. It's a deliberate turning away from truth, from goodness, turning from heaven. You see, this is redemption. All this he took into himself alone there in the dark. He became sin for us. Dear people of God, as the sin of the world is laid on Jesus, the Lamb of God, he owns it as his very own. He experiences in himself what every one of those sins demands, which is, leave me alone, O God. Stay away from me. Go away. Let me be. That's what sin is, saying to God those stern words. And this is the bitterest part of the cup that Jesus drinks for us. And he doesn't just taste it. He drinks the whole thing. He will taste hell. He will taste it for all of us. And he will know the loneliness and the profound pain that is unimaginable for us. How can we begin to understand this? How can we think about what it was like for him at that moment? He is the eternal Word. He is the one who took on flesh from the Virgin without ever leaving the presence of his Father. The Word made flesh, who lived among us constantly, as all men were meant to live, conscious of his Father's never-ending presence and love and guiding hand. And now, having had all of that all his life, now it's all taken away. And he's abandoned and alone. People joke about hell. They say, well, at least I'm going to have company there. But that's not true. Nothing could be farther from the truth. You remember what Jesus said in that parable of Lazarus and the rich man? The rich man is in hell. And he says, Oh, Abraham, send down Lazarus, for I am in agony here. And Abraham says, no, no one can cross. No one can cross between here and there. The rich man hungers and thirsts for human touch. Send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in cool water to cool my tongue, for I am in anguish here. But no visit cures the terror of the rich man's solitude. He is alone. He is all alone. And he will be alone forever. Now, if you think about that, then perhaps you can begin to understand the reality of hell. Ponder that, and you see its true terror. You will bow in love before the Savior, whose love for you is so great that he chose to enter that loneliness himself. He enters the loneliness of hell in your place so that you might be free from it forever. Never alone. Never again. And because Jesus endured the abandonment that our every sin demands of God, because he drained that cup down to this, its last bitterest dregs, you can see your Savior, and you can pray with confidence of being heard that song that we sing this Lent. In this verse today, my Savior, be thou near me when death is at my door, then let thy presence cheer me, forsake me nevermore. When soul and body languish, oh, leave me not alone, but take away mine anguish by virtue of thine own. Do you see it now? You'll never know what Jesus went through in those darkest hours. You'll never have to face life or suffering alone again. He has made sure of it. He will be with you. He will walk with you every step of the way. And so hell itself is undone, and death is destroyed, and sin is forgiven. Your Savior, your Shepherd, he attends to you through the very valley of shadow of death, so that you fear no evil, so that you are not alone. His rod and staff are there to comfort you. He is with you, and he brings you out of darkness, in the darkness of those valleys, into the sunshine, that beautiful sunshine that we see today, the bright light of the day that never ends in the kingdom of light of your Heavenly Father. I leave you with the words of Pastor Kretzmann, who spoke these some 60 years ago. Above his Eli, Eli, was the sound of tearing veils, of falling walls, of the glad crying of those who had a home again under the long loneliness of sin. They would continue to wander, grope, stumbling, falling, in all the black ways which men will walk when they turn away from God. But there was a way back now, beyond Jerusalem and beyond thought and hope, to the place where the open arms of the cross became the gates of heaven itself. That's us. That's because Jesus was abandoned while he carried sin, and so that we are welcomed home. This is the love of God.